Okay. Let's pray before we get into this. Father God, we humbly come before you, your throne this morning. We seek your presence. We seek the mind and the heart and the feeling, Lord God, of your presence today. We can't do anything without you. Our hearts lead us towards self-sufficiency at times. And God, we just take this opportunity to acknowledge that we need you. We need you in every way. We need you to help us understand your word. We need you to your help to live out this life. We need your help, God, in our families and our marriages. God, we need your help in this church. And we welcome you here at this hour. We pray that the Holy Spirit would be the teacher today and that he would reveal next steps and what it means, Lord God, to stir up the gift. God, we thank you for this opportunity again. We worship you. We magnify your name today. Help us to lay aside every weight. Help us to focus, Lord God, on heavenly things right now. Bless each mind. Bless each heart. Bless each soul, Father. We thank you and love you in Jesus' name. Amen. So, over the past several weeks and months, I've been really focusing on what it is God wants me to do. You know, oftentimes I focus, you know, on being a teacher, being a husband, being a father. But honestly, I haven't really, like, dove into, okay, what do you want me to do as a child of God? What do you want me to do as your disciple? And so, going into, I'll probably say November, December, going into 2018, you know, I reflected on what it means for me to be Christian. And so I've been taking a lot of time to pray and to study the Word and to seek God's face for my next moves. And He's revealing it to me step by step, day by day. And I can't ask for more than that. I had a pretty eventful week last week in terms of ministry. I really made it a point to wake up each day and say, God, this is your day. Use me how you want to use me. And I found myself in conversations and places, doing things and saying things that were outside of my comfort zone. But it was exciting. It was exhilarating. And even in the coming days, weeks, and months, I still don't know specifically what he wants me to do. You know, one of the things I was listening and watching as you were signing your covenant and talking about teams and things, and it's important. I'm glad to hear that Fairhaven is doing that. This is me and my wife. We've been trying to find a home for a while now. You know, we helped plant a multi-ethnic church back in 2012. I want to say, yeah, sometime around there. And you know, the church lasted for 2 years, and we were meeting out at Coldwater Crossing in the movie theater. Church grew to maybe 120 or so, started with three families, and it was a great time. We had small groups in our house probably once a week, and at one point in time at our home alone, it was three different houses who were meeting. We had 35 people meeting in our house on a Wednesday, which was crazy. Especially because you're dealing with young families and we got kids, and it was just crazy. But God brought us through. We had a meal. We studied the Word. We shed tears. We encouraged one another. And so, you know, right now, God has really set a high bar in my mind in terms of what we're looking for in the church home. Right now, God is just telling me to be the church, continue to serve, and you know, hopefully we can find a home. We've been attending Black Hawk because it's close to the house, and you know, I know some of the leadership team, and you know, when I'm not here, that's where I am. We went to our church where I was licensed at, Friendship Baptist Church, and so you know, it's hopefully 2018, you know, grounds us somewhere, because I'm gonna talk a little bit about that as I move into the message today, but I want to lay a foundation before I move forward with the central text. And if you have your Bible, if you would turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And this is not even really the central text. It's a foundational text that I want to lay. And I think everybody in here, that's why I love coming to Fairhaven, because I have this sense, I have this feeling that when I look into your eyes that you have a foundation laid already. I get that sense. You know, I feel it in my spirit, so that's good. I met with a young man who wanted me to mentor him earlier this week. And I was hesitant to meet with him, but I was in that state of mind where, okay, God, I'm going to let you use me. So I'm going to go ahead and meet with this young man, and because I knew that his life was kind of out there. But, God was like, hey, meet with the young man. Maybe you can help him out. And I met with him, and, you know, he wants me to help him start a business. Start a business and get his personal finances, because I do some coaching and some consulting. And I'm listening to this young man for about 30 minutes. And my spirit was disturbed, because 2 years prior, he told me he was called to preach the gospel. And I'm listening to him talk about his plans for the next 2 to 3 years. And he hasn't mentioned God one time in all of his plans. And I'm listening and I'm listening. And I'm like, okay, man, stop. Like, we're not talking about this anymore. You know, because God really, he wants me to confront those in my life this year. First myself, and then everyone close to me, my brothers, my sisters, my mother. You love Jesus, you say you're a follower of Jesus, so how does that translate into your day-to-day activity? How does it translate into your schedule? How does it translate into your budget? How does it translate into your relationships? How does it transfer? How does that relationship with God, what does it look like? Because I looked at a schedule of mine from 2016, and every day was jam-packed with activities, and only a small portion of them were, you know, God-centered and God-focused. So I had to clear my schedule out and redo it this year, and I'm asking this young man to do the same thing. And by the end of the conversation, he was convicted, and he was like, all right, I want to meet again next week and start over. You know, so I was glad about that. But I posed that question to you today. As holy as you are, I still ask you the question. All right. What are you going to do with Christ and your relationship with Him? How are you going to live out His call in 2018? Yes, as a body, but also as an individual. Has he given you an assignment? I want you to ponder that. Has Christ given you an assignment? You too, young one, young Christian. Has Christ given you an assignment? I know. I don't know. We gotta figure it out. We owe that to Him. You may not know. That's for me to help guide you and lead you in that. But has He given you an assignment? This is a rhetorical question. He's given me one. And he's continuing to unfold what the assignment is. But right here down in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, it says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now, all things are of God, who has reconciled us to Himself through Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. We are ambassadors for Christ. As though God were pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For He made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. We're Christ's ambassadors. All of us. You know, as I was preparing for this message, you know, I always try to find something insightful that encourages and that empowers, that first of all teaches, or convicts, and then teaches, and then empowers a person to move forward. But this time, God was like, you know what, I really want you to share the heart of what I've been sharing with you. And this is what it is. We are a new creation. Everyone in here, we know we're a new creation. What does that mean? What does it look like? What are the symptoms of this new creation that we are? And we didn't create ourselves. He gave us the power to become who we are. He implanted the Holy Spirit inside of us and made us new. The wages of sin is death, but the gift, keep that in mind, the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And so what does this mean? What does this mean for us? We've got to ask this question, all right? I'm a new creation. One thing that it means specifically is that we are now members of a body. I love the banner out there. One spirit, one body, one mind. We are members of a body. I love the prayer that Ms. Hayes, that she prayed, you know, in terms of the younger parents in here. Like to know that people are concerned and praying for you, that we're here for you through, because parenting is, it's tough. Especially in the younger years, but then she told me, well, wait till they get older. I got one. I got one in college. And yeah. You know, God is telling me, I need you to, you know, start taking steps to you know, be who she needs you to be in this season. So we're members of a body, and I want to take you to another verse before I take you actually to the central text. And it's not going to be long today because it's really, really cut and dry. We're going to go to 1 Corinthians Bible study today. Bible study, chapter 12. So just turn back a few pages. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I'm just laying a foundation before we get into something important to help us in 2018. It's good to hear that you have you guys are recommitting yourself to Christ's mission. Renewing that commitment every year is so important that we renew that commitment. Church covenants are oftentimes signed one time at many churches. I signed a covenant 20 years ago, you know, and it's important that we have that renewal. So 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body. So also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I am not of the body. Is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as He pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now, indeed, there are many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again, the head to the feet, I have no need of you. No, much rather, those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. I'm going to read that one again. No, much rather, those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, and those we bestow greater honor, and our unrepresentable parts have greater modesty, but our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. And if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ and members individually. So I read all of that scripture and all of that text to lay a foundation. We need one another. Fairhaven needs fellowship. Fellowship needs friendship. Friendship needs True Love Baptist Church. All the churches in this city, we need each other. Everyone in this room, we need one another. Some of us, when we look at ourselves in the mirror, we see weakness. But God says, my strength or my power is made perfect in your weakness. God uses the foolish things in the world to confound the wise. And sometimes those things and those functions of the body that we see as small, God sees them as big. And when you're not fulfilling your function, the body doesn't operate. It operates, but it doesn't operate at its highest capacity. Today, in this day and age, as I look at the news, I've been watching less and less of it. You know, the body, we gotta continue to function in our capacity. Aaron, what's your capacity? You don't know. That's okay. You're a worshiper, son. You know the word. You're a discerner of truth. Chris, what's your function? You don't have to tell me, but I'm saying we gotta really be in this year in 2018. God wants us functioning in our capacity. He wants us there. Mr. Jones, it's your function. He wants us there. He wants us there. And not that you haven't been doing anything. This is a challenging message today. It was challenging for me all day. All week, I should say. So I want to take you to 2 Timothy. And Timothy gives Paul gives Timothy some exhortation and some encouragement. And I want to create a little backdrop for you, because right now the Christians are under heavy persecution. Heavy persecution from an emperor named Nero. And I don't know if you know about the persecution of Nero. Now many historians are trying to say that it never really happened. But we still see Christians being persecuted all throughout the world. Today, it's still happening. And Nero was doing some God unforeseen things, and I'm not going to mention them today, but if you want to look it up, Nero was, it was tough. And Paul met Timothy at Lystra, and for about 13 years, Timothy followed Paul. Keep that in mind. Timothy followed Paul and watched him minister and teach others for about 13 years. Okay? And he sent him to be the pastor of a church at Ephesus. Because when Paul and Timothy arrived at Ephesus, there was some false teaching that Christ could not have been a man. There's no way that God would take the body and the form of a man. So, and that teaching was beginning to spread throughout Ephesus. And so when Paul got there, he left Timothy there to make sure that he was confronting the heresy, that he was confronting the ones who were starting this teaching, but also just to guide them as a younger church, because Paul planted the church at Ephesus and Timothy was there with him. And so here in 2 Timothy, Paul is in his second imprisonment. He's in his second one. He doesn't make it out of this one. And in fact, if you read through 2 Timothy, when you go home, you'll see it's a lot different than Philippians, when he was like, oh, I'm encouraged, I'm going to get out of here. This time he's not so encouraged. And so he's writing his last will and testament, if you will, to his son in the faith. I keep these notebooks, Aaron, just so you know. All right. I keep these notebooks. I got notebooks all around my house. My wife would tell you I got like cases and cases of notebooks. They're my manuscripts. It's my mind. It's the blueprint that God has given me. And hopefully my kids will go back to it and like, oh, wow. And they'll read through it. I think I'm going to leave my manuscripts to my wife if I pass before her. And then Aaron is going to be the trustee, because Aaron loves to read, right? All right. So I think you're going to be the trustee of my manuscripts. But Aaron, instructions are in here for you. When you lose your way and you kind of need some guidance, read the Word, and I got all kinds of scripture references in here and notes inside of here. And so when Paul was writing Timothy, he was on it about to die very soon, like within months or weeks, and he wrote these final instructions to Timothy. Timothy was on assignment. Are you on assignment? Are you on assignment? If you're not, because God may have you resting. He does send us through different seasons of our life when we're resting and we're being equipped. But as ambassadors of Christ, if you don't ever find yourself on assignment, you may need to follow some of the instructions that Paul gives here in 2 Timothy chapter 1. I'm going to start at verse 3. It says, "I thank God whom I serve with a pure conscience, as my forefathers did, as without ceasing I remember you in my prayers night and day." Without ceasing. If you're taking notes, without ceasing. Praying without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. That has been in my mind for many, many, many weeks, and it kept coming up as I was studying this text. Pray without ceasing. Paul is in prison. And he's not on house arrest. Like many of us remember, he is in prison, the cold dungeon, and there's only one Christian in his midst who hasn't fled from the persecution, because Nero is chopping people in half and he's burning them up and he's doing all of these things. So many of the Christians have fled, and the only one that remains is Luke. And I bet you the only reason they let Luke stay because he was a doctor. And doctors were few and far in between, so they probably let Luke stay as a doctor and as a historian, but he's alone. Everyone who was ministering to Paul's need, anybody ever been alone in here? Anybody ever been on an assignment and felt like, man, God, this is just too big for me? I know Timothy was there. Timothy was probably in his lower to mid-30s as he took over the church at Ephesus, but he was still considered a young man. And Paul, he says, "I pray for you without ceasing. I remember you in my prayers," verse 3. Now, verse 4, "greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears that I may be filled with joy." The last time they saw each other, they parted. Timothy was in tears. That was the nature of their relationship. Do you have a relationship with a Christian like that? That's important. Do you have a relationship with a Christian that when you separate from this individual, it just wells up inside of you like, man, I'm going to miss you? Many of those relationships we're missing in the church today. It's Sundays, maybe Bible study, maybe once a month. There's seasons of our life where we need a Paul, a Barnabas, and a Timothy. Everybody in here. I've been praying for God to send me a mentor. I think He sent me one. I'm praying. Now I need more Barnabases around me. And I got plenty of Timothys, so I don't need many more of those. But I'm sorry, me personally. You know, matter of fact, I want to touch on something. I'm going to get there in a second. Let me keep reading. It says, "When I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, I am persuaded is in you also." Timothy has a very solid foundation. His mother and his grandmother were devout Jews. His father was a Greek. We don't know if his father was dead or alive during his time, but we know that Timothy knew both heritages. So he would have been invaluable to the church at this point in time because he could relate to Jews and Gentiles alike. But he had this spiritual foundation that Paul mentioned. So I know that his grandmother and his mother were some powerful ladies. God brings us an understanding about how through the generations our impact, you're having an impact on your kids. That trip has an impact on them. May not even see the fruit of it today. But somewhere down the line, because of your faithfulness, Beth, because of your faithfulness, Aaron is going to look back and he's going to say, wow. It's important that we remember this. And he says, verse 6, "Therefore I remind you to stir up the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands." And then in 1 Timothy, he talks about a group of elders who laid their hands on him, and God's power to teach and preach was transmuted into Timothy. God has laid his hands on you as well. When you were made new, God laid his hands on you and he imparted you with his spirit, not just for eternal life, but for life abundant here on earth today. Something I really believe is missing in the local church, not all local churches, many local churches, is that we have pastors who do not have Paul's. I'm telling you, it's missing. It's missing. We have pastors who haven't surrounded themselves with elders. When Timothy became pastor, before he became the pastor of the church at Ephesus, he had a group of men, not just Paul, he had a group of men who laid their hands on him and imparted in him spiritual power. Us as a body, as we stir the gift, we have to, from pastors, elders, to the lowest kid, submission is one of the most beautiful tools that God uses in the marriage, in the church, in leadership. Paul says, stir up the gift. Anazopareo. Fan into flame the gift that is inside of you. It's a gift inside of you, and it can get smaller. It's like a fire. The fire never burns out if you're a true Christian. It never burns, but it can get smaller and smaller and smaller. And he's telling Timothy, in spite of the persecution, in spite of the heresy, in spite of how things look, I want you to remember where you come from, the foundation that was laid by your grandparents, and I want you to fan into flame the gift that I've placed, that God has placed inside of you, that was placed inside of you by the laying on of your hands. For God has not given, verse 7, God has not given us a spirit of fear, in some verses say timidity, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Love. What does love look like? Because I want to talk about what this really looks like. Love, that agape love, it can only come from God. You can't force yourself to do it. You can use your will to try to trigger it, but it can only come from God. Only God can give you the power to love your enemy. Only God can give you the power to love someone who's hurt you. Only God can give you the power to forgive someone who's hurt you over and over and over again. Only God can get you outside of your comfort zone to go to give something that you don't want to give away and you give it anyway. Only God can give you that power. But he says he didn't give us a spirit of fear, because when God calls us into an assignment, the assignment is going to be bigger than us. It's going to be bigger than us. Many of us go on assignments that we think we can handle. When are we going to start taking some of the harder assignments? Go over there and pray with that person. Now, to some, that's out of their comfort zone, and they need God. Me and my wife, we did this wings and a prayer. Wings and a prayer here in Fort Wayne one time. Me and a group of people, we went and bought a whole bunch of wings, and we sat up on a corner of Calhoun and, Calhoun and right across from Southside, old Prime Time. And we had little signs, and we had the kids, free wings. You know, free wings, free wings. And we out there with the free wing sign. And how many trays of wings? We had trays about this big. I don't know, it was five or six big old trays, like full of wings. And we're like, man, we're probably going to be out here all day. Ain't nobody going to come get these free wings. We're on the south side of Fort Wayne. And like, we got people driving by, free wings. Is this a joke? No, free wings, free wings. So they pulled into the little parking lot where we were at the Hope Center in Prime Time right there. And so wings free, yeah, but you got to let us pray with you. Is that it? Just prayer? Some of these people hadn't been prayed with in over 10 or 15 years. We handed out little trays. And they're like, man, where y'all church at? You know, we didn't come to y'all church. It's like, is it for the wings? Is it the prayer? I mean, what is it? What is it? But it was a great experience for the kids. It was a great experience for my wife. I'm telling you, I'd never seen him before. My wife leading a circle of prayer, because I'm around the corner praying with some other people at the gas station, and I come around And my wife is holding hands, leading prayer. I'm like, what in the world? Because she asked Timmy, even though she's a singer, I'm telling y'all, she's a worshiper. She ain't told y'all that yet. Y'all put her on the schedule. But she's singing, and God stirred up this love in her for these people. When you take the assignment that God has given you, He's going to empower you to do what it is He sent you to do. You may think like, oh man, I'm not going to be able to do this. Man, I'm telling you, God is going, He's already given it to you. But as you, every step that you take towards that assignment, in that assignment, He's going to give you the love. That is the ability to relate to the people who are there. That's the ability to connect with the individuals who are there, and that's the ability to attract those that God wants you to attract. That's that love, to serve them. He also gives you a spirit of power, the dunamis power, the power that raised Jesus from the dead, that power that resides in each one of us, that when we die, it's going to raise us up as well. That power, He gives us courage. He gives us that courage. He gives us courage when we go into those circumstances. He gives us competence when we go in. He's going to give you the right tools that you need. He's going to allow you to order your mind in the right way in order to say the things that you need to say. So don't worry about your weakness. God says, my strength is made perfect in weakness. Aaron, don't worry about your age. You just let the Spirit of God live through you, and He's going to bless those who He wants to bless. He's going to convict those He wants to bless. And then He gives you a spirit of a sound mind. He gives you the proper perspective. He gives you vision. He allows you to see the actual steps that need to be taken. This is in the Spirit of God. This isn't something that you do on your own. Anybody can sit down and open up a notebook and plan out something. But when you surrender your life to Christ, when you get on the assignment, don't allow the persecution that's going to come. Christ said, if you follow me, persecution is going to come. It's going to. But man, why would it come? My son cried one day, like, why would they beat up Jesus? He ain't do nothing to nobody. You know what I'm saying? That's the nature of this world that we live in. But God says, He did not give us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So as you go home today, I'm not even talking about tomorrow. Fan into flame the gift. Ask God to use you. God, I don't want to. Anybody ever heard that prayer? God, we know you're working here and we know that you're going to work. And I don't want to miss out, God. Show me what's going on out here and use me in your plan. We got to pray that thing. We got to pray that prayer. God, use me in your plan. Show me the people that I need to minister to. Put me in the right mindset, Father God, to seek your way over my way. Exalt your will above my will. Because you know what? Honestly, sometimes I don't want to do it. I need to go see my grandparents. And sometimes I only want to go see my grandparents. I want to do what I want to do. But I'm like, God, I know I need to go see my grandparents. My grandparents were like Lois. My parents and grandparents were like Lois and Eunice. And I need to make sure they know that I'm thankful for the foundation that they put inside of me. So part of my calling is to make sure that I'm going to visit those who need to be visited. God is growing me in that. He's like, you got to go do it. It's important. All right. Chapter 2. He gives us some images to keep in our mind as we go. He gives us some images now because for me, some of the images are more powerful than other. But in Timothy chapter 2, it says, therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. I love that word grace because grace is that unmerited favor. That's when how God has given you more than what you deserve. He says, be strong in the grace that He's given you. And it's interesting because the further that you walk, the more that you surrender, the more that you fan that thing in the flame, God is going to say, okay, He's ready. I'm going to use you. I'm going to use you mightily. I'm telling you, I tried it out this week. I've never come before anybody preaching a message that I haven't tried out myself. And it's been more than a week. I try it. I'm like, God, I'm surrendering every day to you. This is what I'm, and I got tired. And I complained a little bit to my wife. I'm like, I'm tired. You know, I'm tired, but I got to see and do things this week that I hadn't done in many, many, many years. I'm like, man, that was amazing. I want more of it in 2018. I want more of it. He said, and the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. All of us in here, Faith, you too, in the strength that you have, somebody, you got to teach somebody. You got to commit what you know to others using the Word and the Spirit in your lifestyle. Got to commit it to somebody. That's how it's going to grow down deep inside of you. Mr. Jones, a lot of wisdom. You got to grab somebody up. You need a Timothy. You need a Timothy, I'm telling you. Teaching them the craft that you know, what, along with the wisdom that you have, that you've already given me, just little nuggets of wisdom. You, therefore, must endure hardship. This is the one that I relate to. As a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life that he may please the one who enlisted him as a soldier. God has enlisted you. Crystalline. He's enlisted you as a soldier. What does that mean? Only you and God can wrestle with that truth. Beth, he's enlisted you as a soldier, and you have to wrestle with what that means. And also, if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. And God doesn't want us to live just based upon the rules. He wants us to live based upon the relationship. But it's some things that he's laid down, he's commanded us to do, to love our neighbor. To love one another as he loved us. Ooh-wee, I get woozy every time I think about that one right there. The hard-working farmer must be first to partake of the crops. Consider what I say, consider what I say, and may the Lord give you the understanding in all things. So as a farmer, it requires patience, diligence. When it's time to get up and sow seed, we sow seed. When it's time to break up the ground, we break up the ground. When it's time to harvest the crops, we harvest the crops and we share in what we've been given. Fan in the flame, the gift. Even with a newborn, Chris. Even with a newborn. He doesn't look like he's been sleeping too much, you know what I'm saying? His mind just kind of keeps drifting in the But I'm with you, brother. I'm with you. So let's pray. Father God, we thank you, God, for your love. We thank you for your compassion. We thank you for the opportunity that you've given us to share in your word. God, some of the truths are so simple, yet, God, they seem difficult when we look at our circumstances. God, we pray that you would fan in the flame the gift that you've placed inside of us. You've given us your Holy Spirit. You've given us power, you've given us love, and you've given us a sound mind. God, help us to stir it up. Teach us what it means to pray without ceasing. Teach us what it means, God, to keep you in the forefront of our mind. Teach us what it means, God, to be on assignment in our life this year, Father God. Surround us with the people that we need to be surrounded with, Father. Open up those relationships and give us the compassion and the love and the discernment that we need, God, to operate as we need to, Father God. Bless Fairhaven, Lord God, as they move forward in 2018. Bring, Father God, those individuals who are to assist them in their work. Give the elders and the leaders discernment, Father God, in terms of who they need, God, in terms of leadership, who they need to serve in the different ministries, Father God. I just pray for a blessing upon this place right now in the name of Jesus. God, I thank you for the heart. I thank you for the love that is felt in this place, Father. I pray that you would accept our meager offerings, God, and that you would turn them, Lord God, into something that is beyond our imagination. Because, God, you have the power to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ever hope, ask for, or imagine, Father God. Strengthen us in our inner man. Help us to understand and comprehend the height, the length, the width, and the depth of the love that you have for us, Father God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.